What's going on, everybody? This is Chris, one of the members of the Black Is family. This is a special Mics Off version of The Break, where we just talk about random topics. We did this one a couple months ago, started talking about Obama helping out the black community, and it just went from there. Just sit back, listen, and enjoy.
I was reading recently about all the murders that's been happening in Chicago, and reading a lot of commentary, actually into a conversation with a friend of mine at work, who was saying that he felt like President Obama needs to step up. And he was like, this is one of the reasons why I don't mess with Obama. He was like, Chicago is his hometown. That's where he's from. Yet there's like something like 320 murders in Chicago last year. And he's like, you know, I feel him running down to Newtown and spending time with all those families. But why not go to Chicago and sit with some of the families of the slain there? Why is he not down there talking against some of the murder that's happening? And why is his cabinet not speaking against some of the things that are happening? And so, with that idea, wanted to know how you guys felt about that. Like, should Obama be down in Chicago right now talking to folks?
Well, our first lady was there today.
Okay. Yeah,
For the funeral of the 15, 16-year-old little girl. And I was reading the article, and the family was like, this is not political. Like, don't. So I think, in some regards, because we're talking about real human beings, at this point in time when it's so fresh and raw, some people might not want the president's involvement. Some might not want him taking a stand. You know, when my loved one, my child, has just been murdered, I don't necessarily know that I want anybody speaking on it right now.
Or trying to use it to what seems a political,
right,
to a political
end. They say it's not political, it's personal. And that gun control and violence wasn't brought up at the service, that it was all about who she was. And even if he went and spoke, do we think that would have an impact? Because I think we've got to look at the mentality of the people, which mostly have been our people. Can he go there and ask and say, but it's going to take a community effort. I don't think that our president could go there and make that big of a change. Like, his face might show support. And if that's what people need to get this work done, then absolutely. If Chicago said, we need your support, be here, show us that you're fighting with us to reclaim our communities. It's no different than him coming into any hood right now. If we brought him to Watts, to Compton, to Inglewood, or the Bronx, or Brooklyn, where murder happens, maybe not on the same scale as in Chicago right now, wouldn't necessarily change it. What are we expecting him to do?
We're expecting him as a black man to do something for black people. It's hard for Illinois because, I mean, it's technically on it's a state level. I mean, I've heard from other podcasters. I know Mr. Span, who is a gun owner, and he's spoken to somebody who's a smart gun owner for Chicago. Like, they have the worst gun laws anywhere. Like, they're really strict. And he's always, why is it like the places that have the strictest gun laws are the ones that are the most violent?
Highest murder rates.
And, you know, Chicago's just, there was something else that was interesting to me. Why do we make a big deal when a black person gets killed by a non-black person? It's like, oh, is this an outrage? But this little girl who gets killed in Chicago was like, okay. We don't, it's like, we don't get outraged when one of us kills another one of us. We're just like, well, we don't want to say anything. We don't care about bringing the person to justice. It just happens. But if it's somebody out of our community who kills somebody in our community, we're like, why the hell did he do that? That's racist.
It's a
problem. We're like, why don't they do something? We're like, we don't want to stop our own bleeding.
I have to channel John Wood on that one. He brings that point up constantly when we talk about violence that happens against us from other people, is that we don't take care of the main problem, which is us killing ourselves or our own people. Like, to me, one of the most vile crimes that happened in recent years was that guy who, he bought this little girl from the mother who was a drug addict and then raped her and then killed her. She was about six. Shaq paid for her funeral. This happened a few years ago. like, to me, the most vile. This huge black man and this little, you know, 6-year-old black girl and the mother and her drug issue and all. I mean, the whole situation was so horrible, you know, and that's a trial that I'm interested to see. I'm interested to see this man brought to justice. I'm not hearing anything about, you know, any follow-up with him, how long his term is going to be in jail. You know what I'm saying? Because that's the sort of situation to me. I'm like, that's a death penalty case. Yeah. That's an issue. You know, but stuff like that, those yeah. kind of things happen, and they fall by the wayside. Nobody talks about them again.
We don't, however you want to call it, if we march or whatever that we did, basically for Trayvon Martin, we don't do for
everybody.
Our kids. Yeah, we don't do that. You know, like, I guess,
we'll at marching
what point,
every day.
At what point do we get tired of it?
30 times a day.
When do we get tired of, like, us killing, you know, this black on black crime?
Well, I want to touch on the Obama question, mm-hmm. Because I think Toria's point was really good as far as what impact he would actually have if he did do some of the things that people are asking, like, oh, go show your face in Chicago. I think that it shows a real lack of understanding of the way that the political system works. And if you don't think that what he's doing right now in what he's trying to do with gun control is not in his mind, he's thinking this will help Chicago, like, mm-hmm. it absolutely is connected. And I think for people to expect these crazy things that he should do, go directly to Chicago, what, every time someone's killed, so he'll just live there, I guess. I mean, it's like, it's so unrealistic. And I just want people to, like, look at the big picture of, like, what really he is able to do. And it, you think he's so almighty and powerful. He's obviously not, because so many of the things he's wanted to do, he hasn't been able to. But I just think that to ignore the fact that, you know, even if it's something as subtle as him mentioning the kid on the street corner of Chicago, which he has done actually a few times in speeches that he's talked about gun control. I mean, those are, I think, his ways of trying to show, like, I'm not ignoring that that is a huge part of this
issue.
Problem. Mm-hmm. But guess what? Like, I can't make white people around the country care about that, but I can make them care about 26-year-olds. And if that's what I have to make them care about in order to help the people in Chicago, then let him do that. Like, let him help how he has to do it. Like,
right.
there, you can't just do it however you want to. This is like a crazy system. He's working with people that are insane, that don't want to do anything that he wants to do, even if it does help people. And it's like, I just think we have to be realistic about the limits of what he can do, number one, and also be more optimistic about what he's doing that actually will hopefully help and impact those situations, and not just discount it because it's not being done the way that you want it to be done and as fast as you want it done too.
Mm-hmm. People really need to study politics more. Like you said, it doesn't work that way.
Yeah.
There have been so many black people. Obama's not doing anything for black people. You're not doing anything for black people. What plan are you offering?
Right.
What is there that black people are suffering from specifically that no other group is going to sit there and say, well, us too. You
right,
know,
right.
Yes, we may have a higher population in prison, but white people have people in prison too. So do Asian people, so do Latinos. So we seem to want these things, but ain't nobody marching for it. Nobody's coming up with a bill. Nobody's proposing a law. And if they are proposing a law and they're not being passed, then that's what we fight about. But to say he should come down to Chicago after he leaves, what, gangbanging is going
right.
to stop?
Right.
That's not going to do anything. So somebody showing their face, if it is that easy and if it was that simple, then a lot of these things would have been done.
Yeah.
But, you know, I criticize Obama more about these drone strikes things,
mm-hmm.
you know what I'm saying, stuff like that. But again, like, I don't know who he may have to answer to. I don't know what's going on behind the scenes.
That's
even.
A really good point.
You
we
know.
Don't know who the president has to answer to, and everybody has to answer
to
somebody.
Right.
There's supposedly checks and balances with the government.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, if not the president, could it's not a dictatorship.
Mm-hmm.
Like, hey, I'm in office, now I can do whatever the hell I want to do.
Yeah.
You know, we can see, like, nope. Like, no, we don't agree with you on that, so it ain't getting passed.
Yeah.
I say this, if any of y'all want stuff in the hood to stop, then come up with a bill. come up with a program, and either you go around and you try to get that program enacted, you go to Kickstarter, you make a YouTube video, you get the people in your community and say, yo, if we all save $100 and put it all to this, then we could build a park or something, like, or half of a park or a garden or some kind of daycare center or something. Like, you're not problem solving. So it'd be one thing if it was a problem that somebody could actually solve, like in the Supreme Court, or that this is a national law and things like that. But you're talking about your community,
right?
Not all the rest of them, as though Newtown and Chicago aren't linked. You know what I'm saying?
It's, right.
It is the same thing. But like you said, if this is what they can associate with quickest, then that's what he has to do.
Yeah, and it's the change in policy that makes a difference, not just... You'd rather have a president that's working hard to make things happen in his office, in negotiations in Washington, versus just being out waving and kissing babies and taking pictures.
Some people would think, if you ask somebody else to just come and speak to them, they'd be like, what's that gonna do?
Yeah.
How does he relate? I was like, you make it sound like Obama grew up in... Chicago.
First of all, one of his jobs was to help the hood.
Right.
Like, that's how he paid dues. So
totally.
What do you mean? Like, you want him to go backwards again? Like,
he just got
a promotion. Come on.
He's on a whole new level now.
Yeah.
Like, people in Chicago, unfortunately, you have to do some of the groundwork yourself.
Yeah.
I mean, it's the community. Like, why isn't anybody going to care about your house being fucked up? It's your house. You fix it. And if it's a problem, you're like, oh, okay, now I see that you've at least tried and gone halfway. Let me see if I can help you the other half. But if you're like, help me, and what you trying to do to help? Nothing. I just need you to fix the problem. Like, I can't do that all by myself.
You know, this makes me think of a conversation I was having with my in-laws earlier today. Because we have, our neighbors are a tad ratchet. and there's some children.
That's awesome.
There's some children over there. And my brother-in-law said to me, he said, now, how long am I supposed to hear these grown people curse at these children before I say something?
Mm.
And I said, isn't that funny? I said, doesn't it make you feel like you're supposed to step in and say to the person, hey, don't talk to that baby like that? I said, but one of them, we were having a yard sale out here, and he was buying this little basket of diapers and a diaper bag and a bottle for it, and he calls his friend, and he goes, and I shit you not, verbatim, hey, dude, that little motherfucker need this shit? It's a basket with a bottle and some diapers. That little motherfucker need this shit? Because I'm going to buy this shit right now. That little motherfucker need it. The whole situation was killing me because what he was saying and what he was doing did not go together. He was doing something nice. But his language was so out there. And so we're knowing that the kids are getting this example. And I'm going to bring this all back around in a second.
Mm-hmm.
And I said to my brother-in-law, I said, you know, I said, there's a part of you that feels like you want to do that because I feel the same way. I said, but it makes it so clear to me when I think about that. I said, because if we were truly a community, a village that was raising the kids, we wouldn't have these walls between all these backyards. It'd be one big backyard. It'd be one big community. We all come out here and play. The kids would play. The adults would socialize. Mm-hmm. I said, but these walls are a necessity.
Right.
Because I don't want you on my line and I'm not going to cross on yours.
You can tell the times.
Yeah.
Probably
we're African Americans.
We were kids.
It was different.
They probably would have been like, hey, don't be talking to your kid.
Watch
like
him out.
That.
Right.
Yeah.
Not anymore.
Yeah. My kid is around here. I don't need you speaking that language around my kid.
Right. But now you got too many of these kids,
like,
raising kids, pulling out heat when you say anything to them.
Right.
And that ends anybody trying to have any kind of conversation. It's a really frightening time we live in right now. Tensions are high.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. For sure. I had a similar experience. I had a neighbor and I would hear her, like, berate her two daughters every morning when they would be going to work, like, calling them names and all stuff, and it was just so hard because I'm like, you can't call Child Protective Services and complain of verbal abuse, you know, like that. You'll
really?
Be like,
oh yeah, you
I don't know. I mean, I didn't feel
can't.
Like I could really. Because I just was like, but it was so horrible, and I just knew like the long impact of that on her two daughters who will grow up someday and probably talk to their kids that way. Who knows? Maybe they won't. But just the fact that I was witnessing kids being abused, you know, and I just felt very like helpless, like I couldn't do anything to help them. So I mean, I'm scared of mom. She they moved. I was like,
well, twins like that learned behavior with that chicken ATL getting tasered.
Oh yeah, let's talk about that too.
That?
You guys see that?
No.
Okay.
So in Atlanta, and I'm gonna go ahead and pull the video.
Basically, what happens is, and I actually have my brother who went to school in Atlanta. He talks basically around the underground, and these are basically mom and pop shops where they, you know, if you got like a group of 8-9 dudes in front of your shop, you're not getting any business. So it's a security guard who's basically, you know, telling people to get out the way, leave, being a little harsh with it. And he goes up to the front.
He was an asshole, yeah,
he was going to the front, and this woman, this two black women with like 5 or 6 kids around with them. And I guess when the kids come, he's kind of like, tell that baby to be quiet. No, you didn't. Just tell my baby to shut up. And I mean, like, both of them, like, went in automatically on him. Like, jumped on him.
What kind of place was this?
This is in Atlanta.
No, but what are they standing in front of?
Like a mall.
Oh, you gotta be quiet in front of the mall?
Yeah. It's like, I guess the outdoor mall. So he just, you know, basically like, hey, you know, don't loiter around the spot. And they went in. What you gonna do? Like, and the guy has a camera, I guess, like on his chest. So you're seeing all this, and they're like in his face. You know, he's saying stuff like that to the guys. Young dudes, they're like, no. But they ain't like, they ain't doing that. But these two black women just in his grill.
This is what happened. She starts putting hands on him, and then eventually he hits her with the taser.
Yeah, he goes back. He
why
goes
would
back
you
in.
Put your hands on an officer or any security?
Yeah, he goes back in, and they still yelling at him.
Is this
they
him in the green
kids.
Shirt? No,
basically calling him.
No, it was the girl. I had fast forwarded to the part where she gets shot.
UK.
What?
This is terrible.
Yeah, it's a crazy situation. Like, okay, so this particular mall, like Chris says, is not really a mall. It doesn't have your name brand stores. It's like a swap meet because everybody in there is their own individual business. Mm-hmm. But what it seemed like is the guy's going around to make sure folks aren't loitering. He's a little bit of a jerk. Like any young black men in there that look like they ain't about shit, he's on them. Get out, you ain't shopping, get out. and the same thing with these chicks, but they put their hands, well, the one girl starts hitting him, which is, she was completely out of pocket for that, and all of her kids are there.
Yeah, it's like all of them, and he actually goes back in to the mall, and they just start yapping, and then you see one of the kids actually run into the mall, you better go get your kids, don't tell me to come get my kid, he can go wherever he want, and then she starts pushing them, and you see the kids start crying, like,
they're arguing at him.
Yeah, yes. He's telling them, and he like she gets him. He pushes her back, like you know, back up. No, you didn't just push me. Start swinging on him, and dude keeps trying to push her back. All of a sudden, he just pulls out his taser, like boom.
They usually see her go slack and then fall down to the ground.
It's hilarious because her body her body tightens up, fall, and
he
you
said,
see
you
her
better
like
back it up.
Backing up.
Oh my god!
Oh, it's terrible.
But the little boy said, shut up.
Oh, the kids start calling the cop gay. Like crazy.
I think I'm going to taser her too. Why you gay? That's why you gay. And running up at 5. You're running up on authority on a grown person at 5 years old.
Even if he's in the wrong, you can be like, hey, dude, don't yell at my kids. And then just keep
but
going.
What 5-year-old does that? Like, that little boy couldn't have been no more than 5 or 6.
Yeah, he's my age.
Yeah, because your kids say what they hear.
That's not the first time that little boy has ran up on an adult.
That's when they basically do that all the time.
And she put that little motherfucker in somebody's classroom and say, teach him.
Right.
That's my creature right there, because I don't have to fight that bitch, because I already know. She be coming up there, like.
Going crazy.
You da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da, but this motherfucker, right? I'm done, but I couldn't get past the kids who were so comfortable in rolling up.
No respect.
And see, I used to be of the mind. No, we back on. I used to be of the mindset that those of us that knew better had a responsibility to try to get to those who don't know better, or at least their kids, to try to push them further.
And I get you, a kid, and you want to defend your mom.
But I'm moving away from that train of thought, T. I'm really starting to move away from that train of thought, which is
what?
Fucked up. Like,
train of thought.
Like that we need to help people that are in that situation.
I felt like that until today when I saw this generation gone, because it's like, it's easy for us to turn, it's easy for us to walk away, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because what real impact is it going to have on us in our direct life?
Right.
Right? Directly, right. Immediately. Right. But I have to think about my future. I have to think about our children, your children, who are they going to live in this world with? Who are they going to encounter? Who are going to be? Who can say that your son will never go to school with a kid like that?
Can't say.
You know, even in private school.
I'm going to send his ass overseas.
Well, you know, maybe he's on scholarship somewhere. You know, or somebody is giving him a chance, giving him a ride. It's so scary. Because then you look at the people in the background, these dudes, these cats in the background, like, none of this is acceptable.
No.
None. No. None. When did women start acting like that and then calling themselves mothers?
Yeah.
And you're sober.
Yeah.
Like, you know, I might be like, okay, she's...
She's drunk.
But, oh no. I'm speechless.
This actually ties a little bit into when I was actually joking when I wrote that email that we should do a short attention span as a topic.
Yeah,
that was really trying to clown Joseph, but which he didn't appreciate. But I actually think like so many things tie into that in this world, or especially the United States, because the lack of patience and just our inability to focus on things for a decent amount of time really is to our detriment. And I think that one thing, God, this is getting so into my crazy theories about stuff, but like, I do think the Republicans, one thing I will give them absolute credit for is they think ahead and they think long-term plans. So like the things that we're experiencing right now were like put into work like during Reagan's time, you know, when they start cutting education, they start really eliminating the middle class, like all these things lead to what we are experiencing now, which is an entire generation that has gone through horrible schools, that really has no hope or, you know, sees a way out. Mm-hmm. And I have to credit them, because that was what they wanted, right? The Republicans, clearly.
And they got it.
They've got it, and I think the Democrats, we need to start thinking long-term. We need to get over our short attention spans, and we need to understand that there might be things that right now we don't see any results from, but maybe in 30 years, things will be better, you know?
That's
and,
scary.
Yeah.
That is scary if that's what we're becoming. Just today, seeing that whole group witnessing at least 50 young black men who just of the streets, you know, just misguided, shall I say, because that's what it is. They're looking up to somebody, but they're not necessarily looking up to the right. They're having children. It's still breeding poverty.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
And while I said it doesn't have a direct impact on my day-to-day life, in a selfish kind of way, I can jump in my car, go home, and thank God I know that their groceries there and that those in my direct immediate family are taken care of. But there will be an impact. Like, I can't just look at it today. This doesn't directly
affect me.
Because I'm sitting in there in the church today. I'm just like, oh, my God. Like, it ached. Mm-hmm. It ached because I'm like, this is our future. This is our generation. And for me, it's like, then why are we doing what we do every day? You know what I mean? Like, if I build something up, if I never have children, I want to be able to leave it to godchildren or a kid that just made a big impression on me while I was in my career of education. And where are those kids? Like,
where
it's
are
mind-boggling.
Those kids?
It's mind-boggling that we have the generation like this. And then even as the parents, like this mother, I'm looking at her, and who knows what role she's been in, and I might sound a little Bill Cosby-ish on this, but at some point we have got to, like, pull our boots up and then just say, you know what, in spite of, I'm going to do it. Because we come from people like that.
Yeah.
Those are our descendants. We are the descendants of an in spite of generation.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that were resilient and able to bounce back from something. But it goes back to what you said. It's easier to be like, you know what, that's your family next door. Because I don't know how you're going to react when I tell you, you know. I'm sure somebody out there wanted to be like, get your kids and go. Because I could have ended it right there. You know, I could have been like, sister, get your kids.
And just go.
Let that go. Mm-hmm. You know what? And who knows how she could react. She could have flipped on me and been like, blah, 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 blah.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe you could have made that connection where she's like, all right, you know, just calm her down.
Mm-hmm.
Be like, you know, walk away from this. Walk away from this. Like, all those men, what man stepped up and was like, brother, you're doing too much. You're doing too much. Sister. Like, who went to her aid until after she got tasered to say, sister, calm down. You know, like, calm
and
down.
And that's
calm
the
down.
Other thing. What happened to people stepping in when shit is just incorrect and stopping
people
it.
People are watching it.
It's become it. Spectacle. Mm-hmm. And I think that has a lot to do with how everything has become sensationalized and everybody wanting to watch drama and fights and all that kind of stuff ensue. Because it used to be once upon a time, if you saw people getting ready to have an altercation, unless there was a gun situation happening or like really two big motherfuckers mm-hmm. who would hurt you if you was trying, somebody would step in and break it up. Like, remember that situation that happened a few years ago and that crazy girl was on the bus all up in that old lady's face? Yeah, yeah, yeah. Like, eventually somebody said to her, man, leave that old lady alone. Get out of her face. But with the situation where the girl got, her ass socked up on that bus, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. All these little altercations that keep happening publicly, people are just videotaping.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it is kind of sad when you see the, you know, this dude come in and, like, just like, hey, like, first of all, you left all them kids with her. You gotta do what?
Yeah, where were you? Where you the father comes out of
nowhere? Like, you clearly know that that little boy is kind of like, maybe he like to act up. Let me, come here with me.
But he's defending his mother.
Right. But he's just like, oh, my mama just getting mad at this dude. Yeah, let me just.
So I'm mad too.
You know, and he's probably seen behavior. This. He's probably seen
his
mama
behavior.
Call on people all the time.
Because I see that kind
of. And he just raised the same crap. Did you see people with all the dudes? They don't do nothing. They just kind of like,
no, like nobody walked up and was like, sister, calm down. Like, oh, come on. Come on.
Was
come
two
on.
Of
get your kids.
And you
right.
Feel like
and everybody's standing around. In that big old flea market ass swap meet, looking at gold chains, white t-shirts, socks, because that's all you can get up off that behind. Into the shoes, looking over their shoulder, like that's okay, and it's not okay.
I'm like, unless he was like full on deep in that mall, there's no damn way you didn't hear your baby mama and her friend or sister or whatever the hell.
Fighting.
You like, wait, what's all this about? Nah, we ain't got to stay here.
Right,
you
exactly.
Know what
I'm like,
dude, like,
it goes back to our poverty, right? We don't really have a choice in the matter because if that's how you're getting treated in one of those flea markets tomorrow, we shouldn't go back and support that. But if I can get 3 t-shirts for $10, that's where mm-hmm. I'm going to go. So we don't see the effects poverty have on us because poverty forces us sometimes to not really be able to stick up for ourselves. Because it's one thing to fight that dude, but then you come back and put the money in the pocket of the man that owned it that's paying him the taser you to stay up out of there any damn way.
It feels like, in the sense, with all the stuff that's going on with brothers, that we've taken a step back. I don't know if we just scared or what the hell, and women have kind of stepped up and taken that role, but now they're the ones who are like the aggressors. You know, guys seem like to at least have a point where, like, all right, I see this. I might get my ass kicked. Okay, I'm going to hold back. I ain't got my gun on me, so let me not take this out of me tonight.
That, or what was it? There was a show. Oh, it was the What Would You Do show. And they showed how they put a situation where it was a young teenager being violent towards his mom. And more people that spoke up were women than men. And they said women react emotionally. Men have a logical way of thinking. Mm-hmm, so mm-hmm. while they see it happening, men are thinking logically, like, I could get involved, but it will go this way, or it will go that way, or if I get involved, it might anger him more and make the situation worse. And so it's a kind of like the brain thing, whereas women just react emotionally, and men are like logically thinking about where this could go, how this could end up. But I found that most interesting, you know.
Yeah, you might think the woman's gonna go off on you for like getting involved. Like, I'm trying to help your ass out. Mm. I mean, but we do dumb shit like. Chicks on World Star fighting in the street. We the ones taping it. We not like. And we used to watch chicks fight, but then at some point you're like, ooh, okay, hey, wait, all right. Y'all kicking each other.
But
ass
I gotta admit, there are some funny ones. The ones with the bullies getting beat up. I know. Yeah,
let me just say that. Are we still on the same topic?
Because no. Switch topics.
Because I will say, you can't. It's gonna be hard for you to do gun control with people that don't want to listen. And you got that from the hood to the boonies with all
this
the dudes living in the mountains.
This
so when people don't want to listen, they don't listen to nothing. That's mm-hmm. number one. Mm-hmm. Number two, if we're looking at this thing constantly happening, like, what are we going to do? You know what I'm saying? Like, what are we going to do? Like, that's always my question is, you know, how do you solve that problem?
That's my question too, but it's even more like, what can we do that's going to be effective? Because to me, my original stance was we as a community, those of us that are aware, have to go back and help those that are unaware. But there is a generation that just does not care period. They don't care about being aware. They're not caring about progression. And I don't know if the reason is because of lack of exposure, lack of education, or just the poverty mentality. Whatever the case may be, they're not aware. And trying to come into their space and correct them on that, now you're a threat to them. You know, so it's like, is it worth your time and effort to even bother to try when there are some people it seems like you can't get through them? They don't want to be gotten to.
I would say, yeah, and I would be like with that sister in the video, if I can't help your crazy ass out, I have to help your kids out. Yeah. I need to make sure your kids don't do what the hell you just did and embarrass yourself in front of every damn body.
Right, or learn that what they're doing is not good.
Guess what a little five-year-old boy's going to be? The next cop.
Victim. Let me tell you that I think starting with my generation, at least that I felt like there was a switch that happened where a schoolyard fight would happen over anything. And it was more to establish power or to establish who's the man or establish just over popularity more than anything. So people would just start acting like aggression was okay to establish who had power where. You know what I'm saying? And people may disagree, but I really do fundamentally think that in the black community, especially with entertainment and a lot of the stuff that we're promoting, we're still promoting that behavior. You know, you a bitch, then, you know, if you scared, then, you know, say it to my face. These threats that if somebody actually does it, like, it's like, well, you asked for it because you were, you know,
you were forewarned.
You were bulking your chest up. So what you expect to happen? But it's never on a what you're talking about is it's called social capital. It's never on an idea of no, like if I fight you or if I hurt you or if I kill somebody, there's gonna be a lot of repercussions about this. So this needs to be the last step. But it's not usually the last step. It's the first step in establishing who's got power over who. You know what I'm saying? So I don't know. Like it's really become real out of hand. So
it's out of hand, scary.
Right.
Well, we want to thank y'all for tuning in to this Mike's Off episode of The Break. We always appreciate your listening and your support. You can always find our podcast on www.blackisonline.com. You can also find us on Stitcher and iTunes under Black Is. Please subscribe, leave us 5-star ratings and comments. If y'all want to contact us, you can hit us up on Twitter at Black Is Online. You can email us at kc@blackisonline.com. You can hit us up on Facebook at Black Is Magazine, or you can leave a voicemail 323-455-4219. Once again, thanks a lot, and we'll talk to y'all soon.